You may have heard of tiger moms who push their children to attain high levels of academic achievement. And you might have heard of helicopter parents who are constantly hovering over their kids to make sure that they do well in school. Well, apparently, that time is over. There's now a new type of parent pushing their way through the schoolyard, and they will stop at nothing to ensure their children's success. The new style of parenting is called snowplow. Snowplow parenting. These parents are intent on removing any obstacle in the way of their child in order that their child does not have to face pain or difficulty on their way to success. If their child struggles, snowplow parents will take matters into their own hands and accomplish those challenges for their kids, thinking that they are helping their child without realizing the long-term consequences of their approach. I can understand this to some degree. For example, I remember getting impatient with my children when I have helped them with their homework. It would be much easier just to give them the answer rather than have them struggle to get the solution on their own. We all tend to want to take matters into our own hands when something is not going right or taking too long. And that's the situation in which we find Abram and Sarai in Genesis chapter 16. Abram had received the promise of God that he would be the father of many, and that through his descendants, God would bless the whole world. Abram and Sarai both believed God's promise. But that promise had been made many years ago. Abram and Sarai weren't young when God originally made it, and they certainly weren't getting any younger now. Plus, Sarai was still barren. Maybe they needed to take things into their own hands and force the issue. So Sarai comes up with a plan. Maybe it was just Abram that was needed for the promise to be fulfilled. So she offers her servant Hagar to Abram that he might obtain children from her. Abram listens, and Hagar becomes pregnant. Their plan worked, or so it seemed. The situation only causes issues in the household of Abram. Hagar, who was blessed with child, began to look with contempt upon her mistress Sarai, who was unable to conceive. Hagar's behavior got so bad that Sarai treats her badly in return, which caused Hagar to run away, to flee. But after that gets all cleared up and God convinces Hagar to return to Sarai, and Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, God makes it very clear to Abram in the next chapter that despite Abram's efforts, Ishmael is not the son that God had promised. You will have a son by Sarai, God tells Abram, who is now 100 years old, while Sarai is 90. So Abram replies, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Abram is trying to demonstrate to God that he's already taken care of having a son. "No," God says, "Sarai, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac." Now, Abram and Sarai did not have to take matters into their own hands to have a son and kickstart God's plan of blessing. God was going to take care of that by fulfilling his promise in his own way and in his own time. When it comes to blessings and promises of God, we also think that we have to take matters into our own hands. We imagine that we have to activate God's promise by cleaning up our lives or showing Him how sincerely and earnestly we believe. We think that we can manipulate God by our good works and force His hand to pour out blessings upon us. We become impatient with God as we wait for His promises to come to fruition. And so we try to take our relationship with God into our own hands and trust in ourselves to get the job done. In order to maintain our status as God's children, we imagine that we've got to prove ourselves to Him over and over again. We all tend to exchange the freedom of the gospel for the slavery of the law. Rather than living under the freedom of Jesus' words, "It is finished," and trusting that it truly is finished, we live under the slavery of the law, which says, "I must do more, I must try harder." In the book of Galatians, St. Paul repeatedly demonstrates the foolishness of this thinking. In Galatians chapter 3, he writes, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith." In chapter 4 of Galatians, Paul supplements his argument with an illustration, the story of Hagar and Sarah. "Now this story," Paul writes, "may be interpreted allegorically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother." In other words, Hagar represents the law given at Mount Sinai. All those who submit to the slavery of the law are children of Hagar. They are Ishmaels. And what eventually happened to Hagar and Ishmael? What does the scripture say? Paul asks, "Cast out the slave woman and her son." Ishmael was not the son of the promise. He was the son produced by Abram's own efforts, a work of the law. And he was rejected, as ultimately all will be who rely on the law. But God called Abram and Sarai to trust in His promise and to live by faith. God would take care of it. God would take care of it. And though it seemed impossible, Sarai gave birth to a son, the son of the promise, Isaac. "Now you, brothers," Paul explains, "like Isaac, are children of the promise. We are not children of the slave, but of the free woman." Galatians 4, verse 31. "Those who live by faith and not by works are also the sons of the promise, sons and daughters of Abram, and receivers of God's blessings." But it's not faith in Isaac that brings the blessings of God's salvation. It is faith in the true Son of Abraham, the Son through whom the whole world is blessed, the Son whose work sets us free from slavery to the law. As our loving Heavenly Father, God removed any obstacles between us and our salvation because He knew that we could never do it on our own, no matter how hard we tried. And so He sent His only begotten Son into the world and called Him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. This son would also be born through miraculous circumstances, though not through an old barren woman, but through a young virgin named Mary. This son would also walk up a mountain to be a sacrifice. But unlike Isaac, God did not stop the hands that placed a crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, his own son, and plunged nails into his hands and feet. Jesus completed the work of the law. He suffered the consequences of our sins and our lack of faith, and he won our freedom, and he declared, "It is finished." Jesus is the true son of Abram, whose eternal blessings are received only by faith. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith, Paul writes to the Galatians and to you. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offsprings, heirs according to the promise. My friend, you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham, children of God, through the true son of Abraham and Sarah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Father Abram had many sons. Many sons had Father Abram. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.